Welcome, everybody, to the American Experiment podcast. I'm John Hinderacher, and I'm joined today by Minnesota State Representative Harry Niska. Harry, thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
Harry, there's
coming down to the construction pit here we have at the state office building.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, as you know, this renovation and expansion of the state office building to the tune of some $750 million won the Golden Turkey Award for 2023, and it's kind of remarkable to be looking out a third floor window at the hole in the ground and contemplating where the Minnesotans' $750 million are going to go. It's really extraordinary. So, but in the meantime, we are in the essentially deserted existing Minnesota State office building for this podcast. Harry, there is a religious freedom issue which is brewing here in Minnesota. And I think for our listeners to really understand what's going on, let's kind of start at square one. What was the state of the law prior to this recent Human Rights Act amendment with respect to the ability of religious organizations in the state of Minnesota to function as religious organizations?
Well, sure. And before last year, really before my understanding was we always had a consensus in Minnesota that even as we were talking about issues around sexuality, you know, sexual orientation discrimination or same-sex marriage, that we had a consensus in Minnesota that religious organizations themselves were going to be off limits in terms of government regulation. But that was specifically written into the Minnesota statutes in the Minnesota Human Rights Act. In 1993,
let me just pause you for a second there, Harry. So in the Minnesota Human Rights Act, there is an explicit exemption for religious organizations.
Exactly, and that was put in there in 1993 when sexual orientation was first put into the statute.
And I think it's worth mentioning that's it codified in Minnesota state law, but beyond that, there's a looming constitutional issue.
For sure.
And I know that within the last few years, the United States Supreme Court, which has generally been strong on religious liberty, has held, and don't remember the exact details of the case, but fundamentally the holding was that, for example, if you want to be a Lutheran minister, the church can require that you actually be a Lutheran. Right?
Exactly.
So there's a whole constitutional dimension that's overlaid on this as well. All right, so the pre-existing Minnesota law had a specific exemption for religious organizations. What happened after that?
Well, so previously, the concept of gender identity was sort of a sub-concept within the idea of sexual orientation, and so the religious exemption, which specifically applies to sexual orientation claims, covered anything that was, you know, a gender identity type of claim. But last year, the Department of Human Rights pushed these changes, and the Democrat trifecta passed these changes to make gender identity a separate category, a separate protected class, listed differently, defined as a separate concept. But what none of us really noticed at the time, because it wasn't something that was being changed, was that the religious exemption wasn't being updated at the same time to also cover this new separate category of gender identity. And so what that created was essentially a glitch in the religious exemption. It only applies now to sexual orientation claims, but not to gender identity claims. And that's really caused a lot of concern among the Minnesota religious community.
So do you think that was an oversight, or was it a deliberate blow that people were trying to strike at religious organizations?
Well, I think it depends on which Democrat you ask. Some Democrats have said, and mostly in private, that maybe it was an oversight that they want to fix. But a lot of the Democrats in public, especially the loudest voices pushing that are the gender radicals that are pushing that pushed a lot of these changes in the past, and who are trying to bring these kind of gender claims, say it wasn't. The author of the bill, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, said on the record on Leap Day in our House Judiciary Committee hearing that from her perspective it was not an oversight. So we're pretty concerned that there are some people who were doing this on purpose, and maybe some Democrats who got played. And it's kind of like the SRO issue in that sense, where I think there were some Democrats who were pushing something purposely that maybe some other members of the Democratic Party didn't quite understand what they were biting off.
Well, you give them more credit, Harry, than I might. They're your colleagues, and I think that's appropriate. But I think some of us could wonder here how unintentional some of these things really are. So that's what happened. So now we have the amendment to the Minnesota Human Rights Act that created this new gender identity category. Mm-hmm. And, oops, the religious exemption, which had been in the law, continues to be in the law, for whatever reason, doesn't apply to this new gender identity category. So you tried to fix that, right?
Yep, I did try to fix it. And I've tried to approach all of these conversations as if the Democrats want to recognize it as an oversight, we're there to help them fix it. And that has been rejected over and over again. It was rejected in the House Judiciary Committee on February 29th on a party line vote. It was then rejected in the Senate Judiciary Committee at 1 o'clock in the morning, I think on the Monday before final deadlines, or I guess Tuesday morning at 1 o'clock in the morning. And then just last week, or earlier this week, after deadlines, we attempted to move for an urgency to take up my standalone bill that I've introduced to fix this, and the Democrats moved to put that on the table and cut off debate on the issue. We did have one Democrat vote in favor of it. So this is not, you know, this is a situation where it's going to be really hard for the Democratic Party to continue to stand up and say, no, we're going to stand against the entire Minnesota faith community asking for this change.
Let's go back over that a little bit more, Harry, to make sure our listeners understand it. So I think, as I recall, and you correct me here if I'm wrong, as I recall, the first thing that you did was to propose an amendment to a bill that was going to pass that would fix this problem in the State Human Rights Act. Did that amendment ever get a vote?
That amendment did get a vote in the committee hearing, and I want to back up a little bit before when I was doing anything, because the reason why I offered it as an amendment to that bill was that was the Department of Human Rights' policy bill, and the faith community, the Minnesota faith community, led by the Catholic Conference, but a very broad swath of the faith community, Muslims, Protestants, Catholics, and Jewish organizations, since last August, have been trying to get the Walz administration, Department of Human Rights, and Democrats to agree that this was an oversight and to include it in that department policy bill. They didn't do that, and that's why I'd moved in the committee to amend that bill to add this in. And the Democrats, first of all, berated the faith testifiers who came there, told them that they were hateful, that it was appalling, that the amendment itself was hate.
So this is a committee hearing, right?
In the committee hearing.
What committee?
The House Judiciary and Civil Law Committee.
Okay. Well, certainly the Democrats on that committee weren't doing this by mistake or by accident or by oversight.
Exactly.
Right?
The chair of that committee said that this change was not an oversight from her perspective.
All right. So the amendment that you proposed, did it get voted down then in the House Judiciary Committee?
It was voted down on a party line vote, correct.
And so is that, I don't know how this procedure works. Is that the end of it? Can you then bring it up on the floor, or what follows?
Absolutely. We can bring that up on the floor. We have a standalone bill that the House could just pass as a standalone bill. But the Department of Human Rights bill is not going to pass on the floor without some further discussion about this issue and an opportunity for the Democrats to fix their mistake.
Well, I guess one of the things I'm curious about, Harry, is the moment going to come when the entire Minnesota House and the entire Minnesota Senate are going to have to go on record voting on this issue? So far, I take it as just a committee vote, right?
No, the entire Minnesota House did vote on this issue on Monday. I made a motion to take up my bill, House File 3926, on an emergency. The House Majority Leader said, well, there's still plenty of time to consider this in committee, even though the committee deadlines have passed to take this bill up, and the Democrats will have to give some sort of waiver for it. But he said there's plenty of time, and he moved to put this on the table, and all the Republicans voted against that motion because we wanted to fix that now. One Democrat joined us in voting against that motion, but all of the rest of the Democrats voted to put off this issue without and not debate it on Monday.
All right. So after proposing the amendment, you then drafted a standalone bill And that bill has been voted on a motion to table, right?
Correct.
On almost straight party lines, with I guess one exception. And how about the Senate? Has the Senate voted on this matter?
And the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee, they also had a vote in the committee on and it was once again, it was a similar situation. It was the same department bill. Senator Warren Limmer, who also is the co-sponsor of the standalone bill in the Senate, offered the same language as an amendment, and again, the Democrats voted it down on a party line vote. I think it was 1:04 in the morning in a committee hearing.
So is there going to be another opportunity before this session is over for both representatives and senators to go on record on this bill, and where do they stand?
I expect there'll be more than one opportunity.
All right.
I plan to do everything I can to make sure there are as many opportunities as possible.
All right, you're not going to let this go.
I'm not letting this go, and more importantly, that broad group of the Minnesota faith community is not letting this go. And I've heard from so many people who are finally alert and awake to the radical nature of the Democrats as it relates to religious freedom in this state.
Harry, I want to go back to the Judiciary Committee hearing that you mentioned a few minutes ago, and just kind of expand on that. So the religious community had several witnesses who testified, and is this the 2-minute testimony that is typical of these hearings?
Yep, I think they were limited to 2 minutes, but we had the president of the Islamic Center of Minnesota. We had a woman from the Archdiocese who oversees the inner city Catholic schools. We had a Christian high school principal who's the representative for the Christian schools in Minnesota. And we had a minister from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, all four of them trying to explain to this committee why this was an intrusion on their faith, on their faith communities. And they were told in no uncertain terms by the Democrats that they were not welcome, and that their testimony was referred to as appalling, as casting stones, as hateful, and then the committee proceeded to vote down their request on a party line vote.
So the Democrats on the committee were actually attacking these representatives of various faiths and denominations. You know, it's interesting, Harry, and I think that sheds quite a bit of light on the whole transgender movement. You know, it's not just sort of free to be you and me. You know, it's not like a libertarian kind of thing. The left wants to jam this ideology down our throats, whether we like it or not, and subscribe to it, or at least pretend to subscribe to it, whether we believe in it or not. And they're basically trying to silence all dissent, all disagreement about the merits of this trans ideology that they're using to really try to transform America, among other things, by attacking religious faith. Is that accurate in your view?
Well, if this was about pluralism, if it was about free to be you and me, like you said, then I don't understand why everyone wouldn't agree that we're, you know, when we're talking about especially faith communities, when we're talking about, you know, individual people and their families, why that wouldn't be just a universally accepted consensus. Again, like we had written into the Minnesota Human Rights Act before. Again, that's why I've tried to, in every conversation, approach this as if somebody must understand that this was just an oversight that they should fix. And, you know, it's up to, the ball is in their court in terms of either proving or disproving that point.
Well, they've had their opportunity to fix it if it was an oversight.
They had a lot of opportunities to fix it. They had many, many months to fix it. You know, there was a comment in the Star Tribune from, again, that House Judiciary Committee chair that Republicans are just doing this for clicks or for, you know, to get fun floor speeches. They could have taken away all the clicks and all the fun floor speeches. They had many months of opportunities to do that by just agreeing with the faith community that this was an oversight and fixing it on their own.
So you did a press conference the other day, mm-hmm. and what kind of reception did you get from local reporters?
Well, it was interesting. So at least they finally came to the press conference and finally covered it. For several weeks after that Leap Day hearing, And they asked somewhat skeptical questions, like what kind of harm is really being suffered. But I appreciate the fact that they actually finally came up and showed up and covered this issue after months of a blackout. They'll cover every single stray comment that a Republican minority member of the legislature makes in a hearing. But when the Democrats who are in power berate the faith community for having the temerity to be asked to be left alone, they didn't cover that for several weeks. So I'm glad that they actually finally covered it.
So it seems to me, Harry, that what we're seeing here is a broad-based hostility to religion. It's often said that liberalism is a kind of a secular religion. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of truth to that. It demands total obedience, and it's got a whole set of dogmas that are not supposed to be challenged.
Well, I think that's an insult to liberalism to call this totalitarianism liberalism. I think it's illiberal for the government to be stepping into private organizations like this and trying to.
Well, it certainly isn't classical liberalism. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree with you more on that. Call it leftism, but it's what today is passing for liberalism. I mean, it really, as you say, is a radical leftism. But it seems as if it's not just a hostility. You sometimes hear people talking about Catholics, about the Catholic faith. Or evangelicals, they'll attack evangelicals, but this is really an attack on all religion, isn't it? Because as you say, what about the Muslims? They don't want to have their internal workings dictated by Lee Finke and.
It's really an attack on all dissent on this issue.
Yeah.
No matter where it comes from, but they see it especially coming from the faith community, and so they're willing to the mask is off, like I said on February 29th, the mask is off. This is any traditional faith that doesn't just go along with their ideology is under attack.
And so it seems obvious to me that what we're seeing here is an outbreak, and one of many, of hostility, toward religious faith. But one of the questions you got asked, as I understand it, is, well, what's the harm? What's the harm to these religious organizations? How did you answer that?
Well, first of all, I think I said that the fact that this uncertainty has been written into Minnesota law is itself a harm. It's opening, all these organizations up to litigation concerns that they didn't have before. But there is already a complaint existing in the Minnesota Department of Human Rights brought by, the gender activists that are pushing for this, brought by an employee at a religious school claiming gender identity discrimination. And that's sitting right now at the Department of Human Rights. They could reject it if they said that there was no merit to it, if they said the religious exemptions applied. But it's sitting there at the Department of Human Rights. And so that's really contributing to this great concern by the Minnesota faith community. But more importantly than that, the fact that legislators in the majority party in the ruling trifecta in the state of Minnesota spoke the way they did to the faith community when the faith community just came and asked to be left alone, we wouldn't accept that towards anybody. We shouldn't accept that, frankly, towards any citizen of the state of Minnesota, but we certainly shouldn't accept that targeted at groups that are being targeted by the state of Minnesota. So I think that's a pretty significant harm in and of itself. And I think the people of Minnesota, a lot of the Minnesota faith community, is finally waking up to this issue.
Well, I hope so, Harry. Obviously, this wheel is still in spin. There's going to be further votes before this session is done. And then there could be constitutional litigation. It may very well be that what the Minnesota legislature has done here is unconstitutional, but it certainly is inappropriate, and it certainly is an attack, really, on the entire religious community or set of communities here in Minnesota. So,
yeah, there will be lawsuits, and I think it will be struck down. I think, as I said in the press conference, this is what makes it so nonsensical to me. What's the point of doing this when it's something that I don't think the state of Minnesota will win in its effort to try to force faith communities to bow to this ideology? That's not going to win in a federal lawsuit, I don't think. So what's the point other than to just express hostility towards traditional religion?
Well, Harry, I think that is the point. Keep up the great work, and we'll try to circle back with you here toward the end of the session. We'll see where this issue goes from here.
Sounds
thanks
good.
A lot.
Yeah, thanks.